Crispy Air coming to you live from New York on this Thursday, December 29th. This is going to be our last day, guys, with the snow in the studio. And it's the last day we'll say Merry Christmas. Every day should be Christmas. It's the last day we'll say it. I'm Mike Crispy in studio with the one and only, the producer, Frankie. Frankie, how we doing, sir?
Oh, you know, always good to be here.
Ah, Frankie's showing off the new camera angles. Guys, we are so grateful for your support here as we slice and dice what is going on. You know what? Where I get the most flack on social media for? You know where I get the most flack? Whenever I come at the fraud that is this Ukraine war and the propaganda. And I got a little rule of thumb here. If you have more Twitter bots spouting off your talking points, chances are you're more dishonest than the other side. It's just a little rule of thumb. More angry Twitter bots equal less factual reality. And guys, this is becoming increasingly clear that the Ukraine conflict is not what we had thought. As a matter of fact, the angrier that they get, the more obvious that the truth is nothing that the reality actually is. So guys, Biden right now, this is incredible coming out. Biden's cyber agency teamed up with Zelensky's intel officials to pressure Twitter to censor anti-Ukraine posts. It's amazing, guys. They said, oh, we got to censor the COVID lockdown posts for public health. Oh, we got to just deplatform the United States president because he was a threat to national security. Guys, where we're at right now, it has come out. And the greatest thing about these Twitter files is Elon Musk really summed it up, guys. You see all these things with Twitter files. You could sum it up all in one sentence by Elon Musk. Virtually all of the conspiracy theories that you heard about Twitter are actually true. It's the greatest thing ever. And Elon Musk has the opportunity to destroy legacy media once and for all. I hope he does it because the new media is shows like ours and platforms like Twitter. That is the future, guys. That's the future. The Biden team colluding with old Twitter to take down anti-Ukraine posts just goes to show you where the battle lines are drawn, okay? You would think if you're honest, you wouldn't have to push propaganda. Just like COVID. If you were honest and it was scary and it was killing people, everyone would go in line. If COVID was real, I would go in line with it too. But it's not. It's a fraud. And the harder they push to wedge one narrative in the mainstream and push every other narrative aside shows you that they know they're covering up for dishonesty. That's what it is, guys. They're covering up for dishonesty. 100%. Because the military-industrial complex and the Uniparty wants this Ukrainian conflict to reach a fever pitch. And they're continuing to do it. And it's almost like the timing is incredible. You know, it's amazing. Remember we talked about it yesterday, but you know, in the show, what was it, in House of Cards, Frankie, where didn't a war start right at the end of Frank Underwood's term when he was president?
Yeah,
right?
I believe his poll numbers were down
and he wanted to stay in office. And the amazing thing about House of Cards is, we talked about this a minute yesterday, guys, is that show is so based on reality. Okay, it's a Netflix show, but it's based on Hillary and Bill Clinton. And it's amazing because this is what politicians do. They start conflict. And this is even if you look back to the origins of Pearl Harbor, they will start conflicts and do things to rally a certain type of sentiment in the public, right? So they can do something that they want politically. It's just a little bit disingenuous. Yes, Frankie?
I'm just wondering if I'm allowed to touch 9/11.
You can touch it. Yes, okay. Of course. Touching. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. We know George Bush. We know what you did.
Speaking of which, a guy
who will always agree with George Bush and a guy who hates anybody standing up to what is right with this Ukraine conflict. It is amazing how you will get called a fascist and a communist if you say on Twitter or any social media, I just want peace. I want peace. But guys, people like John Bolton, these little, weak, decrepit, putrid people, these people want war. They'll never go to the front lines and fight, but they want the conflict. And again, I don't know why Trump was having people like this in his administration. I don't know. Trump said I had him in so I could put him in front of somebody and say, we're going to go to war and have him talk tough. And then I pull him out of the room. It's kind of funny. I don't know why Trump had John Bolton on his team. We'll never fully understand why. He's a wacko. But this is the reality of Ukraine, NATO, military-industrial complex. And if you want to look any further, you don't need to look any further. If you want to know what the military-industrial complex is thinking, you just got to listen to John Bolton, who claims he might be a 2024 presidential candidate. Frankie, roll the clip.
Trump cared one thing about Ukraine, which was how does it affect his political future? And I can say that every other senior national security advisor, Mike Pompeo, Mark Esper at Defense, all of us felt that we needed to bolster Ukraine's security. And were appalled at what Trump was doing. And finally, it got resolved in the near term on the security assistance, but the significant negative consequences for Ukraine, I think, were real.
One last question. And in your memoir, you wrote that President Trump wanted to leave NATO in 2018. How close did that come to reality? And we have just a minute left.
Yeah, I had my heart in my throat at that NATO meeting. I didn't know what the president would do. He called me up to his seat seconds before he gave his speech. And I said, look, go right up to the line, but don't go over it. I sat back down. I had no idea what he'd do. I thought he put his foot over it, but at least he didn't withdraw then.
Oh, my God. If he withdrew from NATO, what would have happened? Oh, we wouldn't have been sending all of our tax dollars to get ripped off in some international funding scheme. What would have happened? Okay. John Bolton said his heart was in his throat that Trump might have withdrew from NATO. The gall of a leader, a duly elected president, to make a decision with his own autonomy that the people elected him to do. Isn't it amazing that John Bolton is surprised? It's almost like it's not a real thing that a president is making his own decisions. It's like, oh my goodness, I didn't know what he was going to do. I didn't know if he was going to actually pull out. Maybe that's the way that it was intended to be. But under Biden, he's not making any independent decisions when he goes there. So when I hear stuff like that, it affirms that Trump was the right guy. Oh, in Ukraine, he only did things to benefit himself politically. He just wanted to know what would benefit himself politically. Like, the Democrats don't do that. Oh, no. The Democrats do what benefits them politically. And they also make billions of dollars through money laundering with Ukrainian oil and gas companies in the process. That's the difference, okay? And guys, the Biden regime is right now intentionally, I think this is by Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State. They, on the heels of their disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, it's amazing how that got swept under the rug by everybody. On the heels of that, listen to the way they talk about the Ukraine conflict and listen to how it might have an implication with Taiwan and China, a nation which I've always said really, at the end of the day, owns the Biden regime. Frankie, roll the clip.
Russia's war against Ukraine, if we were still in Afghanistan, it would have, I think, made much more complicated
He's always
the
about
support
to cry.
That we've been able to give and that others have been able to give Ukraine to resist and push back against the Russian aggression.
Interesting. So do you hear what he said there? He said if we were still in Afghanistan, it would have been hard for us to get involved in the Ukraine conflict. So what he's saying there is that if the United States of America is involved in a conflict, then it's really hard for them to get involved in another conflict simultaneously. So if I were China, okay, the nation that controls Biden, right? And I was sitting there and I say, well, You know, we got Hunter Biden. He's still invested in our hedge fund, right? Just happens to still be invested. He never forgot to decouple that,
we
right?
We still have all
just
of these naked pictures of him.
Little paperwork thing. We got all this blackmail. We got video footage of Joe Biden showering with his daughter, molesting or whatever was in that disgusting diary. We got all that. But the United States is preoccupied in this money laundering scam with Ukraine. Maybe we should just go ahead and invade Taiwan now so the Biden regime could have an excuse that they talked about just there with Tony Blinken. Guys, there you go. It is so obvious the way that they do these things. And also, isn't it amazing that we had the disgraceful withdrawal from Afghanistan? Must we never forget that happened under Biden's term. Somehow in the quote-unquote poll numbers, he's beating Trump. That's what they say, which is unbelievable. First of all, if he actually is winning in the polls, then that goes to show you how lost the population is. But two, if they're fake polls, it's like, wait a minute, how are you putting this out there? Joe Biden killed innocent service members in a Afghanistan pullout that was a disastrous catastrophe where the Afghans were all trying to jump on the
hanging
on the helicopter. It's like, what a disgrace from the strongest, most powerful, richest country in the world. That was our feat of strength. That was our display. Oh, but he's doing well in the polls. It's amazing how that got swept under by not just Democrat outlets, but like, where is Fox News and these people don't talk about it much anymore. I think one of the biggest mistakes Republicans are making is they do not talk about that Afghanistan withdrawal. And maybe it was so sloppy. Maybe it was so sloppy because they said, you know what? Boom, mission accomplished. We have soaked this well dry of all the money and resources. It's time for us to move on to our next money launder. And that is the Ukraine conflict. And that is making a boogeyman out of the big bad Russian country that the Democrats have historically for 15 years has said was the greatest existential threat, when they in no way, shape, or form were the greatest existential threat. Again, I'm not saying they're good. Oh, Mike Crispy's a Russian agent. No, no, no. I'm not saying they're good, but I'm just sizing up who is strong, who is a threat, who is not, who's worth the time, who's worth the money. And you better believe the Democrats know is who is worth the money, if you catch my drift. They always know who's worth the money, and it's not Russia. And that is why they villainize Russia. You see what I'm saying? Okay? They don't villainize China. They got a lot of money to make from China. But they villainize Russia because there's no money to be made from that country, because they are inherently a poor nation. Do you understand how this works now? Do you understand how this works? Slicing and dicing here. Guys, speaking of money, Frankie, pop the sunscreen. Worst war ever. Worst war ever. I want to know if General Patton, okay, and when we were in the Second World War, if Douglas MacArthur was negotiating with investment banks in the midst of being on the battlefield with giant mega banks to help fund the rebuilding of the country after the war would be over. See how ridiculous this is? Volodymyr Zelensky and BlackRock CEO Larry Fink agree to help rebuild Ukraine. It's amazing. They agreed to work together on investments aimed at rebuilding the war-torn country after Russia's invasion, Ukrainian government said Wednesday. Guys, worst war ever. It's like this. It's amazing. It's like Ukraine goes like this. Help me. Help me. I'm winning. I'm winning. How does that make any sense?
Just one big money laundering.
Help me! I'm winning! Oh, but hey, 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 BlackRock investor. You know, they said it, Zelensky, when he did the State of the Union, they were like, oh, he came off the battlefield. He had dust on his shoes. He had dust on his shoes. Oh, so he left the battlefield, came to the United States to give his speech in the hoodie, right? And then he made a little quick pit stop in what was billed to be a little quick stop with the CEO of BlackRock to negotiate a financial package to where this BlackRock organization is going to invest in Ukraine and rebuild it after the war is over. We don't know when the war is over. It's amazing how they're putting it ahead. It's like it's so obviously rigged and staged and stupid. We're going to invest in the rebuilding of the country. What happens if Russia does what Ukraine says they're capable of and wipes Ukraine off the map completely? Wouldn't that maybe impact how much money BlackRock would have to invest? How can they forecast the investments when apparently this conflict has not even reached its like fever pitch? Like, how stupid!
Insanity.
Guys, it's like, just think with your eyes. You read these headlines and it's just like, come on. It's just so stupid. Like, it doesn't make any sense. We got the last thing here, Frankie, as we're wrapping up this segment. And it really is amazing. Ukraine's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, said that United States and NATO are using this conflict as a mechanism to destroy the country by war. And I say this, guys, all the time. I say it all the time. What do all the global countries do in the EU, in NATO, in the World Economic Forum? They pay in, they pay in, they pay in to this giant global slush fund. Okay? Does Russia pay into the slush fund? No. Is Russia a good country? No! Stop calling me a Russian. I'm not a Russian. But I'm just pointing out the realities. It's like, yes, the United States of America has an interest in Russia being picked off because they want to make money and Russia doesn't play ball. They did that reset button. Sergei Lavrov and Hillary Clinton were together pressing that. And this guy is the worst person in the whole entire world. But Hillary Clinton was meeting with him, wanted to do the Russian reset. Hillary Clinton probably said, hey, Sergei, hey, Putin, give us all this money or else we're going to paint you as the world villain, world thing. So it's like, guys, I always say this, anti-World War III. Not pro-Putin, not pro-Russia, not pro-Ukraine. Ukraine's a piece of shit. Not pro-anything. I am anti-World War III, pro-America first. Anybody with half a brain knows that is people can't even fly on airplanes this Christmas because the infrastructure, as we have people sleeping in tent cities in -5-degree weather, that you might not want to send over $40 billion to Ukraine. You might want to keep it for its people. If you say that, you are deemed a Russian agent. And if you point out any of this hypocrisy that we're talking about in this block, they will paint you as a crazy person when we are just spitting reality. Guys, we're going to take a quick break. We are just getting started on Mike Crispy Unafraid. Do not go anywhere. Hey, everybody. Mike Crispy here. And I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors of our show today, Patriot Cigar Company. Go to mypatriotcigars.com and use promo code CRISPY for 15% off your order at checkout. Know a patriot who loves a good smoke? This is the perfect gift for any occasion. These cigars are handmade from Nicaragua using the finest tobacco that is aged a minimum of 3 years. I smoke them. I like to have them on the golf course. or in studio. Great cigars, great value. Go to mypatriotcigars.com right now. Use promo code Crispy at checkout. 15% off your order. Enjoy the rest of the show. Let's go. Hey, everybody. Mike Crispy here. And I want to tell you about the sponsor of our show today, MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Crispy for up to 66% off your order. Not just pillows. They have Giza Dream Sheets, dog beds, slippers, you name it. Amazing products made in the USA. Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow, is a great patriot who is under attack by the deep state. So shop for amazing products made in the USA, and it all goes to a great cause. Additionally, go to mystore.com and use promo code Crispy for up to 66% off your order and get amazing products made by United States entrepreneurs. Coffee, things for your car, home appliances, you name it. Mystore.com, your everyday needs. Go shop at mystore.com. Go shop at mypillow.com. Use promo code Crispy for up to 66% off your order. Support the great Mike Lindell. Get great products made in the USA. And welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here, coming to you live from New York on this Thursday, December 29th. Guys, I appreciate the support you have shown this show in helping us reach new heights every single week on Mike Crispy Unafraid. We are the hottest new base show on the internet, the entire internet, worldwide. Sometimes we have some global viewers. Shout out to you guys. If you're watching from other countries and you understand America first and your country first, that's what we like to hear, right? We totally agree. If you live in Brazil, Brazil first. If you live in Canada, Canada first. America, America first. Everybody negotiates with their own country's best interests. No money laundering, no double deals. You do that, you have a world the way it's intended to be. The only people who would disagree with that fundamental are the evil globalists who want to fold you down into a one slushy world government. And what did Zelensky do, Frankie? I was reading this, I was coming to the studio. Oh, he's joining the World Economic Forum.
How unbelievable.
Oh, my, unbelievable. I would have never expected Volodymyr Zelensky to do, address Congress in a hoodie, and then a week later, make a deal with BlackRock and join the World Economic Forum at the same time.
That's too good.
Okay, yes. And he's triple boosted, right? He's, of course, such a joke. Guys, appreciate your support. Just really quick before we roll in this segment, guys, download our podcast right now, Mike Crispy Unafraid, okay? We're rolling into it. We got a big segment here on the RNC chair battle. So goes the RNC, so goes the party. The RNC is putrid right now. We're never going to stop calling them out. We're never going to stop calling these things out. So, guys, right now, if you have an iPhone, go to Apple Podcasts right now. Pop in Mike Crispy Unafraid. Subscribe. If you got Spotify, pop in Mike Crispy Unafraid. Subscribe. Guys, if you do that, leave us a 5-star review on either platform. It helps out big time. I'm talking to you. We got like 1,000 people over watching the show, thousands who watch it by the end of the day. If you all do your part, you can help keep the show reaching new heights. Believe me, we're just getting started. Speaking of just getting started, the RNC battle is almost over before it's even started. For those of you who do not know the way this works, it is a closed door vote with the delegates from each state. They're called national committee people. That's how it works, okay? Each state, I believe, as they have three, okay? You got the chair of each state, so that means like the, so in the state that I live, New Jersey, you would have the chairman of the Republican Party, and then you would have the national committee man and the national committee woman. Now, in the future, the Republicans, as we continue to become a watered-down party, they'll acquiesce and say the national committee non-binaries, right? Because with Ronna McDaniel at the helm, we're going to totally drop, that's going to be our next thing, right? Yeah, we're going to be inclusive. Give me a... So, guys, Ronna McDaniel Romney's running for a fourth term, a historic term, because it'll be one of the longest and one of the most failure, and she's related to possibly the worst senator of all time. Ronna McDaniel going for it, and we're going to give you a breakdown here in the segment of what is going on. So we're going to start the latest, because, again, this is coming up in like 3 weeks, so consequential to the future. And over Christmas, you see some of these candidates coming out. They're saying things on TV. They're making their pitch. They're calling up the committee people. We talked about Lee Zeldin yesterday dropping out. This is Harmy Dillon. And the latest from her with her pitch. She's grown on me. I appreciate what she's doing and what she's saying. This was over Christmas, Harmeet on Fox News talking about her candidacy. Roll it, Frankie.
I'm tired of losing as a Republican. And I'm a grassroots volunteer in the party. And we have simply not, neither did we win the last 6 years, nor are we ready to win in the next 2 years. And so Ronna has got some metrics about the number of miles she's flown and, you know, number of Republicans who turned out in the last election, but they didn't vote for Republicans. So it's problematic that we don't have a strategy after the disastrous election situation in 2020 where all the rules were changed, where states and judges and everybody changed these laws. Mark Elias filed lawsuits. Mm-hmm. We might be able to have a pass for what happened in 2020, but we really didn't change our strategy at all in 2022.
Bingo. First of all, that's an extremely important point by Harmeet. Extremely important point. What did Ronna McDaniel, Romney do to change the process after the election got stolen? If they actually care, they fundraised a lot off it, but what did they do to actually ensure election integrity? Two major parties in this country, one of them the Republican Party, didn't do anything to solve the problem that they fundraised off of was the reason that they lost in 2020. What did Ronna McDaniel, Romney do to prevent the next election and the next election from being stolen? The answer is Ronna McDaniel, Romney did absolutely nothing. And Harmeet Dhillon is 100% correct. They did absolutely nothing about it. They did absolutely nothing about it. And all they do is just lose. They lose and they fundraise. They lose and they fundraise. I was making the joke, at least George Santos beat the Democrats in their own game. Yeah, he lied about some things. But he beat the Democrats in their own game. You make up a story, do this, I'm this person's brother, I'm related to this, I'm a Native American, whatever George Santos said. It wasn't anything that he couldn't have read up on from Ilhan Omar, Elizabeth Warren. And he won. Won by all means. Just win, baby, win, as they say. Ronna McDaniel, Romney is the opposite of that. It's just lose, baby, lose, get more Botox, baby, more Botox. That is...
It's actually insane.
Ronna McDaniel, Romney.
I mean, the before and afters are worse than Kardashians.
Yes. Now, we're going to shift gears to a great friend of the show, the incredible Mike Lindell, who is running for RNC chair. And, I mean, we'll see, you know, how Mike Lindell makes out. He doesn't seem like a guy who's on the inside. He doesn't seem like one of the inside good old boy country club. He's more of a man of the people, a grassroots hero, which he totally is. And the thing I love about Mike Lindell is that he's not involved in a lot of these internal swampy things. Just not, right? Pillow guy, businessman. But what I think is amazing is everyone's like, oh, my God, Mike Lindell's just a total idiot. He has no whatever. But it's amazing when Mike Lindell says these things. It's like the guy did kind of make a multimillion-dollar company, and, like, he does make some really good points because of the simplicity and the streamlinedness of it. So it's like, well, Ronna, like, what? I mean, Mike Lindell's making pretty good grassroots-based points. Here he is on War Room talking about what he would do as RNC chair. And Harmeet Dhillon and Lindell, from what I understand, met recently and they had a nice civil conversation and they're saying, may the best person win. So that's at least good that they're getting along. Frankie, roll the clip.
Very common theme. Ronna has failed. I asked a lot of myself, why would she even run again if she loves our country? And the common theme was ego, 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 and then money. And I want everybody to know I'm not going to take a salary. I'm going to put it right back into the RNC. Because immediately we're going to change into this amazing, amazing organization where the donors are going to have trust again and pour money into it. And we're going to put the money in the right places. You have to spend money to get a return on your investment. And when they say
that's a big deal. You're saying that you will not take a penny. You will not take a salary from the RNC.
Absolutely, and I will put it right back into the RNC.
And Lindell also went on to say that he would out-fundraise anybody else as the RNC chair by 10x. And you know what? I'm going to say something, Frankie. I believe him. I actually, could you imagine if Mike Lindell, okay, guys, think about this. If Mike Lindell was the RNC chair, one thing I do believe that he would do better than anybody else, I think, come to think of it, he would fundraise better than anybody else. Because think about all the people out there that would give a couple $100 because they would trust that Mike Lindell would be running the show. I think they would fundraise historic proportions. I think they would make up for the Ronna McDaniel getting some money from a couple of rich people. I think Lindell would be able to fundraise the grassroots as the RNC chair like it's nobody's business. However, I believe, as Lee Zeldin said the other day, as we've heard from people, that right now the game is very rigged. Because, guys, the people who Mike Lindell is pursuing and trying to get these votes from, they're the swampiest of the swamp monsters. They're the RNC committee people. These are people who have paid their dues in the party for years and years and years. They're part of the establishment machine. They get rewarded with this committee thing because they get to go to the RNC convention. They get to go to these things and they get VIP treatment. It's never been like a contested chair vote. This is a very rare thing that these swampy people have all of this power. really is, because this doesn't happen very often. It never happens with the Democrats. Who's the chair of the Democrat Party, Frankie? Do we even know? Like, we never know, because, like, these things are never even contested. It's historical. The party really is in a historically terrible time, because we're having the first ever contested chairman battle since 1923. Normal. Yeah, not historically ridiculous at all. Since 100 years, okay? 100 years, and it's amazing. It was Republicans 100 years ago. So for the first time in 100 years, and for the first time ever, we're having a chairman battle that is contested like this, where we have three candidates running. We have somebody who lose. Okay, nobody's ever lost the presidency and remained the chair. Okay, no one's ever lost the presidency, did terrible in the midterms. Another time, Botox, relayed to Mitt Romney, and says, keep reelecting me. So you know what? Mike Lindell would be an infinitely better chair than Ronna McDaniel Romney. So everyone's laughing. I'd rather Mike Lindell than Ronna McDaniel Romney. What is Ronna McDaniel Romney doing except losing? At least with Mike Lindell, he would go crazy and burn all the machines down, right? He'd burn the voting. I can tell you that. Ronna does zero substantive
Dominion
things except money.
Dominion would no longer exist.
Ronna does zero substantive things except raise money for herself and spend it on limos. At least if Mike Lindell was the chair, Mike Lindell would say, I'm spending every dollar, every fiber of my being into taking the machines and melting it down and making it steel beams for the next MyPillow factory. Great. Okay, I support it. Because, guys, look how dumb Ronna McDaniel. Look how stupid Ronna McDaniel Romney is. How stupid. Ronna McDaniel got into a tiff with Turning Point USA. Turning Point USA, which has, like, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people who go to their events, right? I've been to some of them. I'm a member of Turning Point USA, ambassador, and I go to some of these events. And they got DeSantis there, and they got Trump there, and they got everybody from all wings of the party, except for, like, McCarthy and those losers. They all go to Turning Point. They all speak at it, okay? Charlie Kirk's got, you know, super mega popular podcasts. It's a massive platform. It's an undeniable piece of the Republican Party right now. And if you're running for RNC chair, and that group says, oh, I support Harmeet, right, for change, what does Ronna McDaniel do? Just like Kevin McCarthy, and they are BFFs, right? They are BFFs, the two biggest losers going for continued leadership of the party, which makes no sense. Ronna McDaniel, instead of being like, you know what, maybe I should try to win over Turning Point or call them or meet with these people, they do have, like, a lot of juice right now in the party, whether you like Turning Point or they have undeniable juice in the party right now. Instead of trying to reach out to them and kind of, you know, maybe she wants to speak at an event or do that. Carrie Lake speaks. I've seen Ron DeSantis speak. I see all these people speak at Turning Point. Ronna McDaniel, first person I've ever seen in the mainstream fight Turning Point and say, well, how many youth voters did they register? How many voters turned out in the youth? It's like, what a snarky, I hate to say, what a bitchy thing. Wow, those stupid kids. It's like, what a nice thing to do as a leader of the party. As the Democrats bring in the youth people and lie to them about the student loan forgiveness, which was a lie. The Democrats, they passed it just to get votes in the midterms, knowing it would get struck down after. They knew it. They manipulated the young people 100%. Instead of being like, wow, Turning Point's a pretty good vessel for, like, young people to get involved. Maybe I should reach out to them. No, Ronna goes, what did they ever do for the young vote? It's amazing. And she's like, screw those kids. We're just going to have our 80-year-old delegates who are the committee people because they did 40 years of time. We're just have them vote. You know, we just care about them. As Ronna says, I care about the 168. That's all she cares about. Guys, that's it. And we're going to shift gears here. Now, people are wondering, what's President Trump saying about this? Is President Trump going to get involved in this race? I mean, he talks about his endorsements. Guys, I'm not, again, day one supporter of President Trump. I say it on every show because I always get a couple trolls in the comments. Oh, Mike, you're anti-Trump. No, I want to say a bad word. I was day one. You were probably not day one. I was day one. He was going to be the president. Extremely, extremely on point on that. Trump should be endorsing in this race. Okay, we got this clip here from Newsmax. Frankie, roll it.
Very surprised and disappointed that Donald Trump punted and said, I like both of these women. I'm not going to get involved in this. Mm-hmm. This is exactly the wrong decision to make, Donald Trump. We need leadership, and leadership makes a choice. Leadership doesn't punt. And if you expect to win in 24, Donald Trump, you need a well-oiled machine in this Republican Party.
He's absolutely right. Listen, again, I want what's best for the party. I want America first. I want Trump back in the White House. I know they stole it from him. Yes, you don't have a stronger, more transparent ally than me. However, is that guy right? Absolutely right on Newsmax. What is Trump doing? Punting? I like both of them. How do you like Ronna McDaniel Romney? What does that say? It just is so, it blows my mind that Trump hasn't put his foot down and done something against McCarthy and done something against Ronna McDaniel Romney. And you can't spin it in any other way. You know, just like with the DeSantis thing. You guys all got mad at me when I said that they weren't friends. It goes, Mike, no, they're friends. And do they look like friends right now? They're not friends. Okay? What's Ronna McDaniel Romney's angle in this? There is no angle. It's the advisors. It's the people around him. I continue to say it. It is the swamp monsters, the Brian Jacks. These RNC people have infiltrated Trump's operation, used to run a lean and mean operation in 2016. Now he's got these RNC losers, and he needs to discard them and get his old crew back together because he should be coming out with a flamethrower against Ronna McDaniel Romney, especially when he has the tailwinds from things like this. Florida GOP, this happened just over Christmas. Florida GOP announced that they are, Florida GOP says they have 30 signees to the chairman of the Florida GOP calling for a special meeting in order to vote whether Ronna McDaniel should be terminated as chair. They want to do a no confidence vote. As Florida goes, so goes the nation. This meeting will be held 2 weeks before the RNC vote. And this is all being organized by a great friend of the show, Anthony Sabatini, who was just elected one of the county party chairs in Florida. So he's doing good work there, taking over local in his local county. So he's organizing this to get a no confidence vote. What does that do? So the letter gets signed. Every single person agrees in Florida that has a say that you cannot vote for Ronna McDaniel as the chair. Okay, so they say that. And then what are they going to do? They're going to turn around. Every single person signs the letter saying don't vote for Ronna in the grassroots. And the committee man, woman, and state chair are going to vote for Ronna. That's not how it's going to work. They're not going to vote for Ronna. And it's exactly what they did in Texas. They did the no confidence vote 2 weeks ago. After disappointing midterms, Texas GOP votes unanimously for a new national leader. The letter, it was a 62-0 vote in the Texas GOP meeting. They're not going to be voting for Ronna. So Florida, I think Anthony Sabatini is going to be successful. So I think Trump, we need him to make an endorsement in it. You got Florida and Texas on your side, Trump. Make an endorsement. You got the endorsement juice. You still control the party. You're still leading in all the polls. Make the endorsement and put Ronna out to pasture. Influence the party and inflict your will and get somebody America First in there, whether it's Harmeet or Lindell. Just not Ronna McDaniel. Romney. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. Do not go anywhere. Hey, everybody. Mike Crispy here. And I want to tell you about the sponsor of our show today, MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Crispy for up to 66% off your order. Not just pillows. They have Giza Dream Sheets, dog beds, slippers, you name it, amazing products made in the USA. Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow, is a great patriot who is under attack by the deep state. So shop for amazing products made in the USA, and it all goes to a great cause. Additionally, go to mystore.com and use promo code Crispy for up to 66% off your order and get amazing products made by United States entrepreneurs. Coffee, things for your car, home appliances, you name it. Mystore.com, your everyday needs. Go shop at mystore.com. Go shop at mypillow.com. Use promo code Crispy for up to 66% off your order. Support the great Mike Lindell. Get great products made in the USA. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, everybody, Mike Crispy here, and I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors of our show today, Patriot Cigar Company. Go to MyPatriotCigars.com and use promo code Crispy for 15% off your order at checkout. Know a patriot who loves a good smoke? This is the perfect gift for any occasion. These cigars are handmade from Nicaragua using the finest tobacco that is aged a minimum of 3 years. I smoke them. I like to have them on the golf course. Or in studio. Great cigars, great value. Go to MyPatriotCigars.com right now. Use promo code Crispy at checkout. 15% off your order. Enjoy the rest of the show. Let's go. And welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here. coming to you live from New York on this Thursday, December 29th. Guys, I appreciate the support you have shown this show. Continue to support Mike Crispy Unafraid by going to MikeCrispy.com right now, where you can get everything that is this show. Okay, social media links. You can go subscribe to the podcast, right? Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're taking over the Apple Podcast charts, okay? Not just the Rumble charts now, the Apple Podcast charts. Soon we'll be taking over every single other chart. But it's all thanks to you. We don't, like Frankie and I are, you know, we're good. We work hard. We're slick good. But guys, it's all thanks to you. Without you, we have nothing. And by the way, that fan the other day, Frankie, that Hannah and her brother that made that t-shirt, I still think that's the most incredible thing ever. Really appreciate you guys. I think about that when I put these shows together. I said, got to make a good show for people like that. I love them. All right. Speaking of people I don't love, so I love you guys, my fans. I hate's a strong word, but these are very anti-America pieces of garbage. People like Whoopi Goldberg, who has made a career out of calling Donald Trump a racist. You might remember in 2016, Ben Carson was there, sitting there, and she said, oh, Ben Carson, Donald Trump is a racist. He's a bigot. He's a homophobe. He hates women. He hates black people. Blah, 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 blah. Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg is the dumbest person, I think, ever to be placed on national television. Imagine being a person and you go sit down and you watch The View as your source of news and you're listening to Whoopi Goldberg. Guys, there are people out there who do it. Just thank God when you say your prayers every day that you were not born to think that Whoopi Goldberg is a credible source of information. Thank you. You're welcome. Glad to provide you that inspiration today. But guys, the latest on Whoopi Goldberg is Whoopi Goldberg doubles down on her claim that the Holocaust wasn't racial. She called it white-on-white violence. Now, anybody who talks about Jewish people or anybody who talks about, you know, black people, BLM, anything remotely racially or religiously insensitive, we have seen in the last number of weeks to months to years that those people typically do not last long. You just can't do it, right? Got one standard, you can't do it, you're kicked off the air. That is what big media will do. Okay, and then you have groups like the ADL that contort and twist narratives and they go after people, and you heard the head of the ADL who does not care about Jewish people. He only cares about getting ransom money out of companies because they suck it in. Then they launder it back through the Democrat Party. They hire people to go work with the big tech platforms. It's one big circular, disgusting system for the DNC, an extension of the DNC. Maybe Ron McDaniel, Romney can learn a thing or two about how power is acquired and how to do it in satellite businesses and all that. But guys, Whoopi Goldberg is able to say these things with impunity, and she is not taken off the air. As a matter of fact, Whoopi Goldberg says all these objectionable things about Jewish people and the Holocaust and the likes, and the head of the ADL, Greenblatt, Democrat actor, gets on television and has a tune that is unlike anything, and I've been following him for a little while. He loves to extort, loves to get money. Here's what he says now. Roll it, Frankie.
But it is indeed about race, because Hitler and the Nazis considered Jews to be an inferior race.
The View had the Anti-Defamation League on the show to explain the history of persecution the Jewish people have faced. But the Anti-Defamation League did not call for Goldberg to be canceled.
I don't believe in cancel culture. I like the phrase that my friend Nick Cannon uses. We need council culture. You know, in the Jewish faith, Don, we have a concept called shuvah. And tshuva means redemption. It means all of us have the power to admit when we do wrong and to commit to doing better.
But ABC...
Oh, my goodness. Amazing. And ABC, I guess they suspended Whoopi, but she'll be back on the air spouting her absurd lies. And Greenblatt says, oh, no, I believe in council culture. Read between the lines. Council culture is... We want you to bend the knee and do what we say. It has nothing to do with advancing Jewish rights or Jewish people or anything like that. No, 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 no. We could care less. If it fits our narrative, you could pay us restitution, right? It's like the mafia. It's like organized crime. And then you could fall in line and do what we say and be in our orbit even further. It's like a big web. It's like multi-level marketing. If you say something we don't like, we'll come after you, we'll leech on, we'll take the money, and now you're an extension of us. Council culture, it's called council culture. So let's not cancel Whoopi Goldberg because she's part of the extension. Let's cancel any Republican who says anything ever. But people like Whoopi Goldberg can go and say, well, the Holocaust was just white-on-white violence. Like, what? Like, that's so terrible. Why don't want violence and nothing will happen about it? Guys, speaking of racism, Whoopi Goldberg is somebody who loves to stoke the race war on The View, okay? I don't watch The View. Although I do you guys the favor of watching a lot of these liberal stuff so you don't have to, right? Sometimes Frankie's like, you saw that on CNN? And I'm like, yeah, I do it so you guys don't have to. I watch the painstakingness. I should be getting hazard pay for doing this job. But I watch The View, and all Whoopi Goldberg and The View co-hosts like to do is demonize Republicans for being racist about what's going on at the southern border. But I don't think that stuff like this is very racist. I think stuff like this is intentionally. And we saw what happened with the omnibus money being allocated so Border Patrol can take the money not to secure the border, but to provide better, nicer, more modern, high-tech facilities for the immigrants. More food, flat screen TVs, right? Better air condition, more channels on TV. That's true. That's the Border Patrol people are telling me is actually going on. This is the latest. Expensive hotel rooms in New York City, 5-star accommodations. You better believe the illegal immigrants are getting it in New York. Roll it, Frankie.
Behind me is the Roe Hotel. 3,600 migrants, families with children live in this hotel, which, by the way, was going for about $200 a night for travelers before it was turned into the largest of four humanitarian relief centers set up by the city at hotels in the heart of Manhattan. Prime real estate just steps away from popular Times Square and the Rockefeller Christmas tree. Migrants get private rooms, 3 culturally appropriate warm meals a day, snacks, and baby formula available on every floor, free legal services, clothing vouchers, free health care, including mental health and vaccinations, and enrollment into city schools. But all of this is expensive. It's costing the city $93,000 a year to provide these services for every migrant family.
And you Democrat voters in these cities, for 1 minute, don't think. For one minute. Wow, the city could pay $93,000 for illegal immigrants. It sounds like they're making it pretty comfortable for them. 3 culturally, not even just meals, okay? Prisoners in jail don't get culturally appropriate meals and accommodations, their own rooms, and enrollment in the schools, and free legal services. In America, if you're an American citizen, do they enroll your children in school for you? No, you got to do that yourself. Do they cook your meals for you? No, you got to do that yourself. Do they give you legal advice and legal free lawyers if you have problems? No, you got to go hire those people and find them yourself. But if you're an illegal immigrant, why would you leave? And boom, you get a beautiful view of Times Square, Rockefeller Center with the Christmas tree this time of year. Families and people are tourists. They always come in to see the big Rockefeller Christmas tree, right? Frankie, you know, the Rockefeller tree, the ice rink and all that. I guess the illegal immigrants, they're having a good time. They're looking at the tree. They're going ice skating on your tax dime. That's what they're doing. So they're bringing them in. They're resettling them in New York. They are making them very comfortable. They're trying to get them voting rights. We talked about that. Oh, in city elections, illegal immigrants in New York getting voting rights. They voted on that. They want to make that a big thing. Republicans are pushing the amnesty, okay? Even Steve Scalise, who might be speaker's big amnesty guy. These are the people, the Ronnie McDaniel Romneys of the world, Kevin McCarthy. These are all amnesty people. And what's going on in New York? Well, in the midst of all this, Eric Adams wants you to know that even though he signed up for this job and ran for the hardest job, right, being a public servant, city like New York, he wants you to know that you need to back off because he deserves, in the midst of this chaos, to have a work-life balance just like you. Roll it, Frankie.
My second Christmas without my mother. And last year, I was really in the state of depression and what I put my staff through. And I said, I can't do that again. So after 365 days of commitment to the city,
because you were sad, great.
I decided to take 2 days to reflect on mommy and to watch how you responded to my 2 days out of this city was really alarming. I deserve good work-life balance like you do. I bet you went on a vacation.
What? Hey, first of all, disgraceful to use his dead mother as a political prop, okay? Because anybody with a sense of pride wouldn't bring something like that up. You have to have, as Tulsi Gabbard would say, you have to have no shame to say things like that. To use your dead mother as a political prop, which I think, listen, rest in peace to Eric Adams' mother. I'm not discrediting that. It's sad, right? But clearly he's using his mother as a political prop here because he took days off and left the city. He's the one who's authorizing these illegal immigrants to have these living conditions and this money. He's the one who's throwing $93,000 per family at the illegal immigrants and letting people starve and die on the streets who at some point have paid taxes, and then you as a commuter in New York have to step over those limb, lifeless bodies. That's all Eric Adams. But Eric Adams deserves to have a work-life balance in the midst of this crisis. No, Eric Adams, you ran to be the mayor of New York City. If you wanted an easy job, you could have taken a whole host of other jobs, Eric. You could have been on Hot 97, okay, because you could be the morning anchor on Hot 97 show, okay? Could have been doing that. If you take the job of New York City mayor, prepare to work every single day because you wanted the job. Nobody told you. You wanted the job. You ran for it. You do the job every day. Right now, what you're doing is a disgrace. So the media should be holding you accountable. No days off. You know what I say? TNDO, take no days off. Eric Adams, fix the problem. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back up to wrap up the show. Do not go anywhere. Hey everybody, Mike Crispy here, and I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors of our show today, Patriot Cigar Company. Go to mypatriotcigars.com and use promo code CRISPY for 15% off your order at checkout. Know a patriot who loves a good smoke? This is the perfect gift for any occasion. These cigars are handmade from Nicaragua using the finest tobacco that is aged a minimum of 3 years. I smoke them. I like to have them on the golf course. Or in studio. Great cigars, great value. Go to mypatriotcigars.com right now. Use promo code CRISPY at checkout. 15% off your order. Enjoy the rest of the show. Let's go. Hey everybody, Mike Crispy here, and I want to tell you about the sponsor of our show today, MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code CRISPY for up to 66% off your order. Not just pillows. They have Giza Dream Sheets, dog beds, slippers, you name it, amazing products made in the USA. Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow, is a great patriot who is under attack by the deep state. So shop for amazing products made in the USA, and it all goes to a great cause. Additionally, go to mystore.com and use promo code CRISPY for up to 66% off your order and get amazing products made by United States entrepreneurs. Coffee, things for your car, home appliances, you name it, mystore.com, your everyday needs. Go shop at mystore.com. Go shop at mypillow.com. Use promo code CRISPY for up to 66% off your order. Support the great Mike Lindell. Get great products made in the USA. Thanks for tuning in. And welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike Crispy here, coming to you live from New York on this Thursday, December 29th. Guys, so grateful for the support you have shown the show. If you have not done it yet, go download and subscribe to our podcast, Mike Crispy Unafraid on Apple, Spotify. Pop it in, hit the subscribe button, leave us a 5-star review. It goes a very long way. If you got a minute, if you like watching the show and you like me and Frankie, go help us out. It means a lot. We appreciate you very much. These guys, somebody's got to fill in the void and fight for real news and real journalism. It doesn't exist anymore. Because I saw a story that came out yesterday, in Time Magazine, okay? On the heels of Christmas being over, and a lot of people, you know, your Christmas time, Frankie, you know, me and you, we're 10, you eat a lot of food, a lot of carbs, you're saying I need to go on a diet, I might need to lose some weight, right? You're probably wondering why I have Richard Simmons on the screen, right? You guys, they want you to say, again, it's always a New Year's resolution, I got to start my diet. Diet starts yesterday, diet starts New Year, new me. Absolutely not. Guys, the white supremacist origins of exercise and 6 other surprising facts about the history of U.S. physical fitness. Yes, if you did not know, Richard Simmons and the exercise movement is a racist, fundamental Christian nationalist practice that was never popular until the 1980s. All of a sudden, in a coordinated attack by white supremacy, it started where they started pushing physical fitness onto American people. Guys, did you know that in the 1920s or so, this is what they say, in all those times before this, right? I guess when segregation was a thing, but apparently it was less racist, that people liked fat people. They liked them. They wanted to marry them. They liked fat women. Guys, it's so ridiculous. It's so absurd, but this is what they're pushing. People will read this in Time Magazine, and they'll be on the verge of going to the gym. They'll be on the verge of going to the gym, and they'll say, well, Time Magazine said it's not such a big deal if I gain a couple pounds. Amazing, guys. That's the garbage of today's media. I love to point it out. The garbage. You want to talk about garbage? Guys, Nina Turner, who used to be one of the most popular Twitter accounts where Elon Musk cut her down to size. If you say out there that the LGBT mafia, double vax, double boosted, standing with Ukraine mafia, if you think that those people are brainwashed, well, then you're anti-LGBT, you're anti-black, you're anti-Muslim, you're anti-vax, you're anti-Joyce, just to name a few. Elon Musk is all of the above. And people like Nina Turner, these black supremacists, will go and talk about it on Twitter and make you feel like, because again, the goal of that is now if people like you and me, it's the people in the middle to go, well, maybe I shouldn't criticize the masked and the vaxxed. Oh, just let the people with the masks do their thing and, you know, it's no big deal. No, they look pathetic. When I was traveling over this Christmas, I always noticed this phenomenon in the airport, okay? I was in the airport in Florida. It's always the fattest and ugliest people who are still wearing the mask. It's like scientifically in line. Fattest and most ugliest. The people you think would be wearing the masks are the one wearing the masks. Men who could clearly have a testosterone deficiency, right? Super pale, weird squirrely hair, really afraid eyes, right? I like to look at the mask people in the eye. I want to see if they'll make eye contact with me. So Frank, I always like, whenever I see someone with the mask on walking, I just go, you're just afraid of the air. So I just do a little experiment. I just stare at them. Right, I just like stare at them in the eye, and I'm just like seeing if they'll make eye contact to like see what kind of person. I want to look in the soul of the people who still believe that the air is deadly, even though Fauci's emails have been gone out and all this stuff, and the Twitter files show that it's all a lie and a joke, right? But they still do it. I want to look in the eyes and look in the soul of the people and say, what is your deal? And you know what I see? What do I see, Frankie? I see nothing, because without fail, the 100 people in which I try to make eye contact with them who are still wearing the mask, they all go like this, and they look away. Without fail, it's look away, look. They never
beta.
Will look. This is very original here in the second. It's like they'll never, this is unplanned end of the show, they'll never look you in the eye. They're afraid of the air.
It's so true.
The Fauci emails are out there. Everything is there. Everyone knows it's a lie. But they continue to do it. Why do they do it? Why are they the people you think would do it? You don't see a Mike Crispy or a producer Frankie wearing a mask. You don't see that. You don't see a Jeremy Harrell wearing a mask. Anybody who looks like halfway a normal male, you would not see doing it. It's the weak people. It's the fat people. It's the ugly people. It's the people who would look like Democrat voters' textbook. And there you have it, people. That is what we are up against, and that is why the Time Magazine article and what they're doing to journalism, it affects people. It really does, because if it didn't, then you wouldn't see that in the airports when you're traveling around for Christmas. All right, rant over on that. Guys, I am so grateful for everybody who tuned into this Tuned Up Thursday edition of the show. I appreciate you guys for sticking with us all year long. We started this journey in September, and what do I say? We're just getting started on Mike Crispy Unafraid as we wrap up the year, guys. We do it America first. We do it bold. We always do it unafraid. We appreciate you guys tuning into today's show, and we will see you back live tomorrow.